This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. Cybercrime is becoming an increasingly lucrative space. The World Economic Forum's 2016 Global Risk Report estimates that the cybercrimes cost the global economy $445 million in 2016. However, the cybercriminals are facing a new threat now, and it's not from the security firms. The traditional process of these digital thieves, of stealing data and selling them to fraudsters for a profit, may have bred a new type of cybercriminals known as rippers. Now, these rippers are a major problem for those participating in the cybercrime economy, as they often try to rip off other cybercriminals in the criminal underworld by selling fake social media credentials, invalid or used stolen credit cards, and stealing money by not delivering promises to their services and goods. And over the past 6 months, digital risk monitoring business Digital Shadows, they have been keeping close tabs on Ripper.cc, which is a new service designed to remove rippers. Currently containing close to 1,000 profiles, Ripper.cc is aimed at revealing rippers and reducing the problem of fraud so that cybercriminal marketplaces can flourish. The emergence of Ripper.cc is just one example of the industrialization of hacking and the growing professionalism of cybercrime. Services like this can help negate a problem by cybercriminals that, when using marketplaces, profits decrease for legitimate buyers and sellers and slow down transactions, making cyber attacks less lucrative. And on the show today with me is Rick Holland. He's the Vice President of Strategy at Digital Shadows to explain further about the innovations in the underworld like Ripper.cc. Rick, what are Ripper in your own words, and why are they bad for cybercriminals?
Rippers are thieves amongst thieves. So they're, in many ways, they're bad for cybercriminals, but they're actually good for defenders. There's the old adage, there's no honor among thieves, and that definitely applies to rippers. And so what rippers are essentially, if you look at criminal cyber underground, the dark web, public websites where people are trading goods and services that are either, you know, stolen from your listeners, from their companies, or services that are being sold to target their companies. There's a whole marketplace for it. And within that market, there are these rippers. And basically, ripper rips you off, right? They're stealing. So essentially, I might pay you money to go and launch an attack against a particular news website or some sort of e-commerce website. I pay you the money, and then you never actually launch that. That's what a ripper is. And so essentially, ripper is a name that's been developed to try to identify those that are stealing from the customers operating in the cyber criminal underground.
And when did Ripper sort of emerge? How long ago is this?
Well, Ripper is a term that's used in the English language, of course. It goes back much further than that in the Russian forums, over 10 years. There's a Russian word roughly pronounced Kadala. And Kadala means in Russian to throw, and it's become hacker terminology for, you know, you're throwing someone, meaning you're ripping them off as well. So Kadalas and rippers have been going for over a decade, basically the same sort of thing, trying to identify those people that are stealing from you in the cyber underground. So this is not, the term ripper or Kadala in and of itself is not new, although what we'll talk about a little bit more in detail is something new and innovative for rippers.
And since it's been around for, like you said, about 10 years already, what's made it popular now? Why is Ripper suddenly, you know, over the last 6 months, people are talking about Ripper?
I think people are talking about this because they're trying to protect their profits. If you look at the cyber criminal market, and I just have been at my organization, Digital Shadows, just over 1 year now, and I've started to delve into cybercrime like I had not in previous roles that I had. And the cyber criminal markets are very similar to any type of commerce market that you might have. The actual similarities are much more striking than you might think. They're very, very similar. They need to be able to reach their population. They need to reach buyers, right? The market needs to connect buyers and sellers together. And essentially, what we found in our research was a new service called Ripper.cc, which was basically trying to take the traditional way of identifying rippers and make it scalable and make it attractive to more than one market. Let me talk a little bit about the traditional way that rippers have been identified, and then talk about this Ripper CC and what we've seen over the past 6 months. Traditionally, rippers would be a section of a forum. So if you're on a criminal marketplace, let's say Alpha Bay, it's a very popular underground market, or if you're in a criminal forum that's out there, they have a section, and it's typically called Ripper, or it's called Blacklist. Blacks is for short. And essentially, that's where you identify someone that has made a fraudulent transaction. So just like you might see in e-commerce sites that you use, that I use, that your listeners use, you know, there's some type of feedback mechanism where you can report bad customer service or a bad experience. That's essentially what the Ripper section of these individual markets has been. What makes Ripper CC unique is it's a new model where instead of just focusing on one market by itself, it's trying to combine multiple markets, right? So instead of having to do business on one market and there's someone that rips you off, you're now in another market. Maybe they're not in that Ripper list. And now basically what we found, and we'll talk more about it as well as we dig into questions a little bit more, is a way across multiple forums to identify people conducting fraudulent activity. So it's beneficial to the users of these cyber criminal forums, but it's also beneficial to the proprietors of these marketplaces and forums where this business is transacted, because they don't want their criminal e-commerce site to be known for excessive fraudulent activity or getting ripped off, right? They want to be able to, just like businesses that you and I both use, your listeners use, right, want to have good customer service. It's very similar in some of the top tier markets out there. So they are interested in being able to identify rippers because ultimately it protects their customers, which gives their criminal market a better name and can get more business for them.
What has Digital Shadows discovered, you know, about the evolution of Ripper.cc over the last, you know, couple of months?
Yeah, it's very interesting. They're not unlike startups that you might see at RSA conferences across the globe when they have the innovation sandbox. The Ripper CC website and the authors that created it had done was essentially made a way that if you're using Firefox, if you're using Chrome, these browsers, that you can highlight a person's name. So if you imagine, and probably some of your listeners haven't been on one of these criminal locations, right? But you might see it's carved off into, okay, this is going to be credit cards. Maybe this is denial of service as a service. There'll be these different sections. And within each section, there's a seller. And that seller has a name. That seller has a Jabber ID, so Jabber being the communication that's used for the buyers and sellers. They'll also typically have their Bitcoin address. So they'll have these details about a particular service provider or product provider out there. So essentially what you can do with Ripper CC, if you're using Firefox or Chrome, is you can highlight that person's name, and it will go look up in a database and say, hey, this person, don't trust them, they're a known ripper, or say we haven't found anyone. So that's essentially what they're trying to do, is they're trying to make it easy, right? It's low maintenance. Instead of having to go off to a forum and look it up yourself or having to go to another site, you simply highlight with your finger or with your mouse. It does a lookup to the Ripper CC service and says, look, you can trust this person. They haven't done anything historically bad in the past. And then you know that you can conduct your business. Now, of course, if I'm a person buying criminal services from a criminal, I'll still be a little bit suspicious, I think. But it makes it easier to identify them.
It's like the consumerization of cybercrime, then. It's making it easier for them.
Oh, it is. The one thing that I found in the past year since I left Forrester Research to come to Digital Shadows is the barrier for cyber criminals gets lower and lower and lower and lower. You can rent denial of service botnets out for as little as $5. You can have, with the rise of the Mirai botnet that we've seen, you know, from Q4 of last year, right, it's very easy to go out and access an Internet of Things botnet and pay someone to run it for you. And you just tell them, you know, give them Bitcoins and then target it. So it does. That wall, the barrier to entry is lower and lower every day.
I'm speaking to Rick Holland. He's the Vice President of Strategy at Digital Shadows. And we're talking about the innovations in the underworld like Ripper.cc. We'll continue the discussion in just a moment, and we'll talk about how cybercriminals are looking to monetize services like Ripper.cc in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Tech Talk, and my name is Jeff Sandhu, and I'm here with Rick Holland. He's the Vice President of Strategy at Digital Shadows, and we're talking about the innovations in the underworld. We're talking about services like Ripper.cc. It's a new service designed to remove rippers. Rippers is a major problem for those, you know, in the cyber crime economy because, you know, they get ripped off by other cyber criminals. So Ripper.cc is aimed at, you know, revealing these rippers and reducing the problem of fraud so that, you know, cyber criminals can flourish. And this is an example of the industrialization of hacking and growing, and also the professionalism of the cybercrime world. Rick, how are cyber criminals actually looking to monetize, you know, Ripper.cc in a manner that appears to mirror legitimate business models?
Well, certainly, you know, one aspect of it is traditional advertising. So just like probably any site that you're going to go to today, any site that I've been to today, right, has a banner. So when you go to the Ripper.cc webpage, they actually have banners, so you can buy advertising space there. So they're seeking to monetize it that way. They've also talked, although they haven't done this yet, about rolling out a mobile application, which would be very common to a lot of, you know, online banks that we all use, right? They have mobile apps that are out there. So advertising is one model that they're definitely pursuing, as well as there's another model that's interesting in this world, and that's around trust. It kind of ties back to the no honor among thieves. One of the things in the criminal market that they have is escrow. So just like if you were purchasing a piece of property, you would give the financial institution a certain amount of money to be held within escrow. And then as the deal progresses and everything goes okay, the escrow is paid out. You see something very similar in the criminal market where instead of me paying you for a particular service, I'm going to put it into escrow with a third party, a trusted third party, although I would say trusted with a little suspicion, again, going back to the no honor among thieves. But essentially, you give it to a trusted third party, and then once I get my good from you, whatever it is I might be purchasing, and that could be things like drugs, could be counterfeit goods, it could be, you know, payment cards for your consumers if you're a bank, whatever the good is, once I've said, look, it's been received, then that money is paid out. So it's kind of a way to, you know, not get ripped off. There's, you also see these things called exit scams where you pay someone and in an escrow, and then the escrow takes a bunch of people's money and then never pays that out. So there's another level. So they're also interested in trying to create a more trustworthy escrow service. And the escrow service, you could see, you know, you're going to put so much money in escrow and there'll be a percentage that comes off of that escrow, right, that gets paid to the service. So they're looking at advertising. They're looking at running a more trustworthy escrow service. And then, of course, they could look to a model of maybe when they roll out a mobile application, they might charge you a small fee for the mobile app. So it's very easy to conduct your transactions right off of your phone.
If these services become successful, Rick, how does this impact the overall cybercrime economy?
It's very interesting. Well, one, and you kind of alluded to it with your question, the lowering of the barriers of entry, the industrialization, right? It makes it much easier for cybercriminals to conduct their criminal activities and then profit from them. So I think this aspect is bad for all of us that are on the defender side, right? Your listeners here that are having to protect their networks. It just makes it easier for them to confidently purchase denial of service, right? And maybe attack an organization, or to confidently purchase a exploit toolkit that they could use. So that makes it more difficult. Now, I would say, generally speaking, you know, Ripper is started in July of last year. It's a new offering. We're still looking to see how successful it might be. You know, the more ripping off that occurs and the more Ripper activity that's successful in the cybercrime market, you know, that's better for us because that might us as the defenders. So we actually don't want a service like this to be successful because, you know, the more times someone tries to use a service and has success, that might lead to that criminal market closing down or getting a bad name. So we don't want to see it be successful, but the more success they have, you know, the more that we're going to be targeted in our day-to-day organizations trying to defend ourselves.
And what do new innovations in the underworld like Ripper.cc mean for, you know, the business of cybercrimes?
Well, it's not going anywhere. Mm. Even sadly, without innovation, it's not going anywhere. You know, we will hear, you know, several times a year, there'll be some big law enforcement takedown of a marketplace, or they may go in and arrest some cyber criminals, you know, someone maybe operating out of Eastern Europe that they've got in vacation someplace. So I think the cybercrime market is just going to continue. I mean, if you look, you know, this is a sad example. If we look at Mirai, going back to Mirai and the Internet of Things and how vulnerable and insecure those devices are, you know, that's not changing anytime in the near future. So essentially, there's going to be all these devices that are out there that are vulnerable, that are waiting for criminals to exploit them, that are then waiting for criminals to turn that into a service that's accessible and it's easy to use for denial of service. So I think the cybercrime economy is definitely going to just continue to become more and more robust. We will see more arrests occurring, but I think largely these arrests won't have any significant impact to the overall criminal market.
And what can we do, Rick? What can we do to, you know, not just stay protected, but sort of help the industry as well?
Well, I think several things that you can do. I mean, one obviously is do a better job of protecting our infrastructure that we have in our environment, protecting our consumers. So be it maybe providing, you know, free antivirus software to your employees so that they'll be more secure at home and then hopefully more secure at work. You know, a lot of the traditional fundamental security things are important to continue to do. And I think it's easy to sometimes forget about that. RSA in San Francisco just happened recently. I know we had RSA in Asia Pacific last year, Black Hat's coming up, and there'll be all of these new and exciting things. And I think those are important. But I think it's really important to focus on the fundamentals to get good visibility into your environment. Know what the cyber criminals are targeting, to know if that's in your threat model. I think this is really, really important. So if you're a financial institution, are you out there searching for or working with a partner to search for the payment card BIN numbers? If you're a healthcare institution, do you have good visibility into the data for your patients that you're trying to protect and know the adversaries are starting to move into healthcare patient data so they can have more robust attacks? So I think the things that we would do for cybercrime are probably not that different to the things that we would do for hacktivism or other threats that we have. It's getting better visibility into our environments, getting better resiliency so that we can detect these attacks faster and hopefully try to prevent them from happening. And if they do happen, in some cases, you know, it's the internet's forever, right? If your data's out there, there's not a lot that you can do. However, for certain ISPs, for certain services, you know, you can work what would be called a takedown service. So if you find your intellectual property, your sensitive data, you might be able to request an ISP to take it down and get it removed. Now, if they're what is known as a bulletproof hoster, I mean, you can guess with the name of bulletproof, right, that they're probably criminal. Bulletproof hosters basically host these malicious marketplaces. You know, bulletproof hosters don't really listen to takedown requests, but it is something that you can try to do depending on the country and jurisdiction with which that organization that is hosting your content is located.
And for Digital Shadows, what's on the horizon for 2017?
Well, I think for us, it's to continue to track, you know, what we've talked about today is how are cyber criminals going to evolve. We're very interested in tracking their payment methods. So in many countries, it's Bitcoin. In Eastern Europe and Russia, you might see something called web money, but trying to track how they're actually paying for this. I think if you can track, you know, follow the money is a common piece. So we're interested in following the money. We're also very interested in, I mentioned bulletproof hosters, but their infrastructure that's being used. So when one marketplace goes down, what infrastructure do they use? Can we make any predictions around that? So I think those are two areas that we're very keen to track. And then I think also seeing how things that are being used by nation states and tools and capabilities that come out into the public might be adopted by cyber criminals. We've seen this with some of the NSA tools that have been leaked. They're already making their way into the cyber criminal world. So just trying to keep a track to see how the techniques and tools that the adversaries are using are evolving and how they may be adopting other things that are out there to make it easier for them. Again, kind of lowering a barrier for them to conduct their financial crime activities.
And I've been speaking to Rick Holland, he's the Vice President of Strategy at Digital Shadows, talking about the innovations in the underworld. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.